gospel gives all.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
You could use the resources from your own church right here from our time together in the scriptures. That's a major way of spreading Christianity on planet Earth. What is that? It is when you and I understand something ourselves, we receive it, we understand it, and a major way that we reach others is by just sharing now what we understand. Okay? That's very simple, but it is very profound in the compound effect of reaching people and making disciples on planet Earth for the kingdom.
Picture this. You're sitting down with your friend, trying to explain a math problem to him. But here's the kicker. You're left in the dark about the formula or the logic that leads to the answer too. So it seems like this is all heading towards a big old mess and a whirlwind of confusion, huh? The same logic applies when you try to share the gospel with others without properly understanding God's word first. Today, Pastor Bo is here to inspire you to dive deeper into the wisdom of the Word of God. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, Word-Driven Disciple Makers.
Now Paul's burden, what's on him and driving him and kind of compelling him here, is much like what he expressed previously in chapter 15, verse 35. If you want to glance at it really quick, chapter 15, verse 35 says that, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and it says, with many others also. At the beginning of his second journey was like that. He had this desire to follow up with new believers, churches, young disciples. I think it's good to start thinking through, even in your mind right now, do I know anyone like that? Do I know any new believers? That's a great question. Have I shared my faith with anyone? Is a great question too. Have I led anyone to the Lord lately? Is a great question too. It's not a condemning thing. It's just to sort of provoke a healthy examination and then prompt right action in response to what we're supposed to be doing. So understand, it's from a place of teaching and willingness to grow and fulfill what Jesus has given us to do as Christians. And guys, like, check this out. I always think about this. The scales are in heaven. Like, we're going to meet Jesus one day. Did everybody hear me on that? You and I are. We're going to meet Jesus one day. You are going to see him. And none of the reasons that we use for why we don't make disciples aren't going to hold any water when we're standing there. I mean, it just won't. So I just want to encourage you to, if this isn't incorporated into your Christian experience, that you start to realize, okay, I'm to be a Christian, a disciple, who's also making disciples. Everybody hear that? Okay, all right. So he desired, Paul did, to go to Ephesus, launching out on this third trip. But he first chose, he's like, trying to get to Ephesus, but he chooses to first revisit, and I'm going to use some words because they're very important, his spiritual children. He wants to revisit first his spiritual children from his previous missionary work. He agonized over the spiritual maturity of new believers. I am really challenged by that because I am somewhat bothered, and I mean that in a good way, I mean that in a kingdom way, by the lack of that I see amongst so many of Christians today. I mean, we agonize over our houses. We agonize over our weight. We agonize over how old or new our cars are. Do you know what I mean? Paul doesn't have any of that. And what does he agonize over? What does he have a burden about? It's for the spiritual condition of people that he's previously ministered to. I mean, he is concerned about their spiritual growth. And man, mark it down. That's a whammo for every minister, whammo for every church, every gospel, anybody, everywhere around the world. We are not to be concerned about numbers, converts, that kind of tracking of metrics and all this kind of, we are to be concerned about the person, the soul, the spiritual condition of the person and where they're at in their relationship to God and their growth in Jesus Christ by the Spirit, by the Word in their life, helping them become all that God has for them to be according to Scripture. They need a disciple. I need to disciple them. You need to be discipled. So is there someone who's discipling you? And you need to be making a disciple according to Scripture, according to the New Testament, according to the Bible. Is this a church? Right, are we Christians? You're like, Bo, why do you talk like this? Because this is where we've gotten today. We've got to really clarify all these things. That is really, that is what we're all about. So that's what our focus is. But I'm wanting us to see some here. Galatians 4:19 is where we see Paul's heart. He says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until, look at this, Christ is formed in you. That is the burden. That is the sort of the agony that Paul has on the inside of him. How great is it? It's like that. Now, we've got to also understand something. What we see in exemplified in Paul the Apostle as an apostle and back then, Book of Acts and all that, we need to understand now that same, what we have in his words and we have in his example, we now have by the influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Word in us, alive in the church now. So it's not, please, 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 I'm trying to help us understand something. Do not create gaps between our obedience to the Word of God, our living, our carrying out the mission of Jesus, to what we see Paul doing back then. Like it's not supposed to be with the same heart. No, this is all meant to inform us now in what we're doing. So we're to be cognitively thinking, looking, praying for who, Lord, would you have me to be ministering to in such a way that I can make a disciple out of this person? And then what's the method? What's the tool? It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. You don't need a degree. You don't have to go to some school. I don't need to give you 9 years of classes and all this kind of stuff. You know what I'm trying to say to you? Yeah. You can take the Word of God that you already understand. You could take these sermons. I hope they at least serve that purpose. You could take these messages. You could take the discussion questions that I formulate after every one of these messages. And you could at least start having some discussion with a friend who maybe, I don't know if they know the Lord or they don't know the Lord. And so you want to try to reach them, minister to them. You could use the resources from your own church right here from our time together in the Scriptures. That's a major way of spreading Christianity on planet Earth. What is that? It is when you and I understand something ourselves, we receive it, we understand it, and a major way that we reach others is by just sharing now what we understand. Okay? That's very simple, but it is very profound in the compound effect of reaching people and making disciples on planet Earth for the kingdom. Look at this room. Look at how many people are in this room. Just imagine if everyone in this room took what they already know Jesus has said and can handle it enough to be able to share it and articulate it with someone else who's not in this room. What would that do for Christ's sake? It's not what would that do to build our church or change the community or change our world. We know where this world is headed. We're after one primary goal here, and it is to glorify the Son. Amen. It is to glorify the Son. And so one primary way we do that is by making him known on planet Earth and doing what he said to do. He'll do the saving. He'll do the work in the person's heart that we can't ever pretend to have the power to do. He'll do it. But we have been given the assignment. Folks, the word is key. The translators have chosen that because it is what defines that passage. A commission. It is a commission that has been given to the church to carry out. Okay, I was a bit long-winded on that. But when Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, I wanted you to see that because that communicates responsibility, doesn't it? My little children. I have children. Many of you have children. When you think about it spiritually, that's what Paul sees, new believers, new converts, young believers, young Christians, young churches, that's how he sees them. He sees them as his little children. That communicates responsibility. It also communicates a need to care for them and to raise them up properly. And so he's committed to that. Do we see new believers like this? Do we see new believers as spiritual children who need to be nourished in the faith, need to be poured into, need to be raised up, need to be cared for? Something else that Paul did, I think we should catch while we're sort of examining his heart here and how he follows up with new churches. We're kind of getting a little inside look at Paul's heart. Yeah, we see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. It says, "For what is our hope?" Now, this is where Paul rejoices at the progress of the faith of a new believer. Please stay with me. I want you to really see this stuff because it's very, very important. He actually will celebrate over the progress of a new believer. So that's why we know this is his heart. He says here, "For what is our hope, what is our joy, or our crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming?" You see that? So what are we celebrating over when the Lord returns? Paul says to this church, "Is it not you?" That's what he says. It's you. He says, "For you are our glory and joy." Ha, wow, okay. So he rejoices over the progress of the faith development of new believers, young churches, individuals, and groups, and corporately of Christians. All right, let's do a little bit of application here. Paul's zeal, I think we could call it an evangelistic zeal. We would agree with that, right? He's got that. He's got this evangelistic zeal, was mixed or mingled with a passion for spiritual growth, please hear that, and for healthy congregations. We need that same passion, that same concern. We do. We need to have that. What are you talking about? That zeal, yes, to reach the lost, also mingled with, though, a passion that is committed to spiritual growth. So not just what can we do to win people to the Lord, but what can we do to actually make disciples? Win people to the Lord, yes, that's great, but that's just the beginning. Okay, they're coming to the Lord. Well, now they need to be developed, need to grow in the Lord. Are we concerned about that? And is our church healthy enough to accommodate them? Is this a healthy church? Healthy churches would be defined in, you know, what is a healthy church? I mean, we're just in here quickly like this, I don't have a whole message prepared on all of the aspects of a healthy church, but I think a quick reminder of Acts 2, verse 42 will help us. It says there, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You remember that verse? To the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So that is our matrix, if you will, for a healthy church. Well, what does a healthy church look like in the book of Acts? Well, at the earliest part we can go, looking at the early church, would be Acts 2:42. And there's a very important word, and it's not, main things are important. Fellowship, prayer, communion, the teaching of the word. Yes, those are all important. But I like to highlight in this day and age, this time that we're living in right now, when it comes to Acts 2:42 and a healthy church, it's the word devoted. It's the word devoted that I like to highlight. People aren't devoted to the church anymore. People aren't devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God anymore. People aren't devoted to actual koinonia anymore, genuine fellowship that cultivates sanctification and genuine accountability. People aren't devoted to that anymore. People are devoted to YouTube. People are devoted to Amazon. People are devoted to Target and the kids and TikTok, whatever, yeah, TikTok, or their careers and jobs and money devoted to that. Christians are to be devoted to those things. And that word devoted obviously evokes a lot of things. That means a lot, doesn't it? Devoted. That's more of a heart word. That's more of a word that helps me set priorities and move things around. And that's exactly right. That's why I highlight that word. Because the church, by and large, in our land, is in great danger of missing Christianity, missing it, because it's consumer-driven. It's not Christ-driven. It's not word-driven. It's not spirit-empowered. It's gimmicks and it's hustling for money. We have a word. We have a Savior. There is real sin. People are lost. Heaven is real. Hell is real. The scales are there. We've got to get to work. Amen. We've got to take what, and many of us are. I'm not getting on us. I'm trying to exhort us, encourage us, admonish us on this mission. This is what the church is to be actively doing. All right, here's the second group of teacher and student. It is number two, you can write it down, Aquila and Priscilla. They're filling in the gaps for this man, Apollos. Aquila and Priscilla are filling in the gaps for Apollos. So while Paul was traveling, this man from Alexandria, Apollos, he arrives in Ephesus. We read it. Now, he had a very impressive resume, Apollos did. He's got striking teaching abilities. And even with that, though, Priscilla and Aquila picked up on something. He needed further instruction in the faith. So even though this guy is like GQ preacher guy, there's something about what he's not saying or saying in a certain way that's making Priscilla and Aquila go, who they've spent time with Paul for a while now, kind of go, and they were Christians, we think, even back in Rome and came from Rome to here. So they're mature. They're in a position of making disciples as well. And so they're hearing him and they really like this guy, but they're picking up on something that's not quite right. So Aquila and Priscilla, they're there in Ephesus for a while. And they start to fill in the gaps of Apollos' understanding. Now, he's a well-educated man. He is a native of Alexandria. Alexandria, like I mentioned earlier, is from the northern horn of Africa there, from Egypt. It was an intellectual center during that time. It was known really for its library. It had a library with over 700,000 books in it. It's very famous. It had a museum there as well in Alexandria. Years actually earlier than this, Alexandria, the Jewish scholar community in that area, there were Jews there as well, had actually produced the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which we know today as the Septuagint, which is a very credible source to cite in understanding the Old Testament, because that's the first time that it was translated from Hebrew into Greek to the modern, you know, speaking world at that time. So the city was also home to a lot of famous philosophical scholars that I can't quite name them all just right, but very popular people that perhaps many of you have studied in school. Apollos is from there. He appears to be a Christian. I'm going to say it that way. Give me some grace. He appears to be a Christian. Now, there's a few clues that point to that. First, it just says he accurately taught the way of the Lord. That's where I'm getting that from. I mean, Luke saw fit to say that this guy accurately taught the way of the Lord. Second, it can be understood that the Holy Spirit is the one who energized his passion. If you have an ESV, you see a lowercase spirit for the word spirit, but if you look down at your footnote there, it also translated with an uppercase S, spirit, capital S, for the word spirit. And that's because the word the is actually in the original manuscript. So he's not just fervent in spirit, as though he would be fervent in his own spirit, passions. He's also fervent in the original language, it can also be understood as the spirit. Now, when the Bible talks like that, that's pointing towards a higher form of deity there. We're talking about, we think it can go either way. That's the second reason why I think he may be a Christian, because he's also fervent, not only in his own spirit, but perhaps because of the translation that's there, also in the Holy Spirit, fervent in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit energizing him as a Christian and his ministry that he has to these people. So, a little bit of that. Romans 12, verse 11 says it this way. I thought I'd share this with you. Do not be slothful in zeal. Do you see that? Trying to encourage us today. But be fervent in spirit. So let's not just look at Apollos and go, Apollos, he's a neat guy. No, let's drive this thing home, right? Romans chapter 12 is a chapter for what it is to live like a Christian. That's Romans chapter 12. And right there in verse 11, you have, do not be slothful in your zeal, in your passion, but be fervent in spirit. So you've got to stir, sometimes you've got to stir yourself up. But I want to encourage you to really ask the Holy Spirit to ignite a fire on the inside of you for the things of the Lord and for serving the Lord here in this life that we're living. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. And a lot of people are out of gas on that. Can't this, can't that, I hear it all the time. And that would be my exhortation from the Word of God to you. I have to apply it to myself every single day as well. You know how many times I sit there at my study and say, Holy Spirit, stir it up in me. I can't just read another scholar. I need you. I need you. I need your insight, your power, your understanding, your illumination. You. I need the truth of the Word of God as you would apply it to me to ignite a fire in me so that I am passionate about the things of God on planet Earth. Folks, listen to me. That's the gas. That's the fuel. We all fill up our gas tanks or plug your cable in somewhere for your car. And that is similar to what would be the source of power in the church on planet Earth. It is the Holy Spirit. I need him. I need him. You need him. Be open to him. Ask him for fresh outpouring, fresh filling, fresh enablement. Expand your thinking. Get out of ruts. Don't just stay the same. The Holy Spirit is your comforter, your counselor, your guide. He will move you in places of effectiveness and usefulness. Not to mention, our doggone children are difficult. Right? Parenting or our marriages. I am telling you, I have counseled. I wouldn't say I've had a strong or robust counseling ministry in my life, but I have counseled all throughout my time in ministry. And there is a noticeable difference between people who are trying to obey the Word of God, but without a Spirit-filled emphasis in their life, and those who experience the same hardships and difficulties, but are not open to the Spirit's infusion into their being. There is a difference. The Spirit-filled life is real. He is meant to empower us, infuse us, ignite us. He is the one who helps us take all of Jesus's qualities, life, and live them out. So you see the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, right? I can't do that without the Holy Spirit. I can't do that. But when I do slow down, consult the Spirit, ask for the Spirit's empowerment, enabling, something does happen. My flesh gets dealt with. In other words, sort of minimizes its power and its control. And the gifts and the fruit, what I'm focused on right now, the fruits of the Spirit are able to sort of flow, but I like to use the term pop. Pop off. They sort of pop off. Like, oh, I can love the way I'm supposed to love. I can have joy the way I'm supposed to have. I have peace, and it's just like pop, pop, you know, it's sort of popping off because it's fruit. And when the Spirit of God is the one cultivating it, and this is all John 14, all John 15, John 16, 17, all through that in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking about the helper who's going to come. This will be his ministry.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida, but we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, Keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind, and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.
No.